I think chapter 6, Nityadharma, Race and Caste. Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Chudamani. I understand, but you still... But you still have not explained what Shraddha is. If Shraddha develops from Sadkarma, virtuous deeds, then my argument is still stronger, because Shraddha cannot arise without properly performing the Sadkarma and Swadharma of Vanashram. Muslims do not perform Sadharma, so how can they be eligible for bhakti? Om Jnanatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls. It's one of the first Wednesdays in a long time that I'm not sleeping and giving the class at the same time. So I feel kind of alive. So basically, we understand what the story is now is this Lahadi Mahasai, his son has come to kind of convince him to come home. He's an aristocratic Bengali landowner, Brahmin though, and his son, who's a professional scholar, it's just such an embarrassment for the family. So he's had some dialogue trying to convince his father to come home. And the discussion's going pretty good to some extent until some Muslims come to visit the ashram who happen to be descendants of the Chan Kazi, who was basically converted to Vaishnavism by Lord Chaitanya, but not changing his external culture, but actually understanding the import of Islam, which means to surrender to God, and having that vision and perspective. It's sometimes very difficult to see the meaning of the scriptures, like the Vedas don't really mention Krishna directly, and but those who have insight understand language, not in terms of their own frame of reference, but in terms of the frame of reference of the audience. The Vedas is speaking to, or Vyasadeva's editing the Vedas, and he has a particular strategy, and he's, and you have to know that. It's the real meaning of words is sometimes quite different than what's said, especially when those words are spoken thousands of years ago. That's why there's the science of hermeneutics, analyzing, understanding scripture. You have to understand who they're talking to and what their intent is. You just can't take those same words and put it in a modern context and understand what's going on. But anyway, so this Chudamani, this really disturbed him, because the Muslims karmically are outcasts. They're malechas. They're beyond Vanashram. They don't follow the principles of the Vedas. And therefore, in a karmic level, their association is not warranted. So he's upset. So he brings, his name is Devi Das. He brings all these Brahmins led by this scholar Chudamani. And the Vaishnav is, you know, he's upset. Why you, you know, the Vaishnav, you know, it comes after the platform of karma. You can either become an impersonalist or a devotee, but it's practically beyond karma. And therefore, there's really a qualification to take to this path. So, you know, why are you associating? And you know, people are very attached to the social culture because it functions in a way that supports their spirituality. So even if they get it wrong, they're not exact. They're very, it's like, it's just like in India with women becoming gurus in ISKCON. You know, there's a fear it's going to overturn the whole, you know, culture of the domestic role of women in the house, which is more apropos to India than it is the West. And therefore there's always some fear. So it has some basis, in fact, but, you know, there's subtleties involved, you know. So they're upset, and Vaishnavas, though, don't want to debate because that's just a platform of the ego. It's power. Knowledge is power, and if you lose, you have less power. If you win, you have more power. Power enables you to control the world so that you can have more sense gratification, whatever it is. So no one likes to lose the debate. So what happens is the Vaishnavas don't care about those things. They're not into positioning themselves by ego. Yes, you defeat me, you're better than me. What does it matter to them? They have a different objective. The Vaishnava's objective is to connect with God. Their identity is a servant of God. And what happens is people have fear when their identity is challenged because it's a temporary event. But the real identity, I'm a servant of Krishna. So that identity you can maintain that identity you can maintain in any circumstance. But if you have an identity, I'm a scholar, then you're so afraid that you'll be defeated, or, you know, I'm a... Whatever is the false identity becomes your greatest fear in losing it. And so, but Vaishnava doesn't have that fear. But when the Muslims, they Vaishnavas say, oh, you just follow the Mahajans, and then they get heavy. What is your Mahajans? What does the Shastra say? What does your Mahajans tell you? I tell you. So they say, okay, now we're insulted. We have to defend. So there's Vaishnav Das, and then there's debate. So now the debate is basically of how you can respect Muslims in that intimate way when they're social outcasts. So then the question is what becomes the qualification to someone? And there's a long discussion about that in different ways. And it comes down to the fact right now that being a Vaishnav is not a material thing, so it doesn't have a material qualification. Its qualification is tatvika shraddha, faith in shastra, faith in discussions about God, and that's your qualification, not your material qualification. You still may not be eligible in one sense to do certain things in that kind of culture. So, Chudamani can't understand this because he's saying, you know, because he's saying if Shraddha develops from pious deeds, then you are supporting my argument that there's a qualification. Because it's not, you know, if that shraddha is the qualification from bhakti and bhakti comes from sukriti, then they don't have the sukriti. So how can they be eligible to perform bhakti? Now, Vaishnav Das is going to clear this up now, that the sukriti he's talking about is not the sukriti for karma. The sukriti he's talking about is something different. It's the sukriti that comes from bhakta sangha, from the association of devotees, which doesn't necessarily raise your material platform. But it makes you eligible for bhakti. So Vaishnav said, is a fact that shraddha arises from sukriti pious deeds. It's stated in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta shangena parijayate satsanga prapyate pundhi sukritai purva sanchitai. The inclination for bhakti is awakened by association with Bhagavan's bhaktas. The jiva obtains the association of Shuddha bhaktas by the accumulated effort of spiritually pious activities performed over many lifetimes. So it's association of devotees, and there's a sukriti for getting the association of devotees, but that's also not material. There are two types of sukriti, nitya and naimittika. Nitya sukriti bears eternal fruit and its result. It results in sadhu sangha and bhakti. So that's with devotion. Objects and acts of devotion, that's a particular sukriti. You have a completely different karma sukriti. You may have the karma sukriti to be born as a dog eater. Naimittika sukriti, otherwise known as anicca or impermanent sukriti, bears temporary results that depends on some cause, and it leads to material enjoyment and impersonal liberation. There's another type of sukriti that you get moksha or karma, but they're dependent on some temporary cause. That's why it's the mittika. All types of material enjoyment are non-eternal because they clearly depend on some cause. Many people think that mukti is eternal, but this is only because they don't know the actual nature of mukti. It's vairagya and gyan, which deal with the material world, not the soul. You can be a jnani and a vairagi and not actually touch the soul. The individual atma soul is shuddha, pure, nitya, eternal, and sanatana, primeval. The cause, nimitta, of the jivatma's bondage is association with maya. And mukti is the complete dissolution of this bondage. The act of deliverance or release from bondage is accomplished in a single moment, so the act of release is itself not an eternal action. All consideration of mukti ends as soon as emancipation is attended, so mukti is nothing more than the destruction of a material cause. Therefore, since mukti is only negation of a temporary material cause, it is also naimittika, temporary or causal. On the other hand, so it's all a temporary thing. It's a temporary cause. I've ended material existence. It's temporary. So liberation is also temporary. On the other hand, attachment to the feet of Sri Hari never ends once it's established in the heart of Jiva. So once it's again awakened, that's it. Therefore, this rati or bhakti is nitya dharma, and if we analyze its practices correctly, none of them can be said to be naimittika. They're all connected with the soul. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're doing the activity of the soul, and therefore when you chant sincerely, you become fearless. You become fearless of death because you're experiencing the real you, which doesn't end with the body. The type of bhakti that terminates at the point that it bestows mukti is only a type of naimittika karma. Well, bhakti that is present during and after mukti is distinct and eternal, and it is the nitya dharma of the jivas. So the type of bhakti where you worship God to get liberation, it's motivated, so it's not purely bhakti, but there's worship involved. But the type of bhakti, well, real bhakti, it's an eternal thing. Mukti is but an irrelevant secondary result of bhakti. It's said in the Mundaka Upanishads, Priksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedam ayam nas kritta kritena tadigyanartam sugurum eva bhagache samitpani srotriyam brahmanishta. A Brahmin who has exhaustively studied the Shastras will become disinterested in performance of karma by carefully examining the temporary, impure, and miserable nature of Swargaloka and the other celestial planets which are attainable by performing material pious deeds. This is so because the Nitya Vastu Bhagavan is eternal reality and is beyond the reach of karma. To gain factual knowledge and realization of that eternal supreme person, one should find a qualified guru who is learned in the Vedas, who is firmly established in the service of Bhagavan, and who knows the absolute truth. One should then approach that guru carrying wood for kindling a sacrificial fire and surrender body, mind, and words to him with faith and humility. Just try to find out the context of all this now. Okay, so he's talking about the cause of bhakti. Karma yoga and jnana all produce naimittika sukriti, temporary results. While the association of bhaktas, bhakta sangha, and contacts with acts of devotion, bhakti kriya sangha, produce nitya sukriti. One who has accumulated nitya sukriti over many lifetimes will develop shraddha. Naimittika sukriti produced different results will not lead to the development of faith and unalloyed bhakti. So you can progress in such karma, in the karmic, and become very, very pious and not get to bhakti, and it's not a permanent thing either. So that's what he's saying here, that there's two different types of sukriti, and bhakti sukriti is a completely different thing, and it's eternal, and someone can become qualified from that, not being qualified on the platform of karma sukriti, such as a Muslim who meets Lord Chaitanya and his family becomes inspired, who meets others, they become qualified for bhakti, which is above karma and jnana, and therefore they can be respected. Vaishnav Das, bhakta sangha means conversing with Shuddha bhaktas, serving them and hearing their discourses. Shuddha bhaktas perform the activities of bhakti, such as public congregational chanting of Srinam. Participation in these activities and performing them on one's own is called bhakti kriya, contact with acts of devotion. So he's explaining this is how people become devotees. It's a different sukriti than karma. The Shastras explain that bhakti kriya consists of activities such as cleansing the temple of Sri Hari, offering a lamp to Tulsi, and observing Hari Vasara, Kadasi, Janmastami, Ramnomi and other days. Such activities create sukriti that nourishes devotion, even if one performs them accidentally or without pure shraddha. When this sukriti acquires strength after many lifetimes, shraddha for sadhu sangha and exclusive devotion and ananya bhakti develops. Coming to the platform of ananya bhakti, where you're worshiping God not to get some liberation or karma or your business successful, or you, you know, but actually just worshiping without any motive, out of love and understanding that that sublimity is the goal of life. To come to that point of ananya bhakti, when someone actually comes to that point, and to the extent he comes to that point, is indicative of the sukriti that's created by devotion, knowingly or unknowingly. It must be acknowledged that every vastu substance has some particular potency, and this is known as inherent potency of that substance. The potency to nourish bhakti is found only within the activities of bhakti, not karma. So Vaishnava is preaching. These activities produce sukriti, even if they are performed indifferently. What to speak when they are performed with faith? This is expressed in the Prabhaskanda quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.451. Madura Madura Metam Mangalam Mangalanam Sakonigamavali Satpulam Chitsurupam Sakadaptani Gitam Shradya Heliyava Vigavaranara Matram Tariye Krishnanama. Sri Krishna Nam is the sweetest among all things that are sweet. It stands supreme amongst all that is auspicious. It is the eternal, fully ripened spiritual fruit of the wish-fulfilling tree of the Vedas. O best of the Bhrigus, Sri Krishna Nam awards immediate deliverance from the ocean of material existence to anyone who faithlessly chants even once, either with faith or without faith. So, you get that sukriti. Thus, all types of sukriti that nourish bhakti are nitya sukriti, eternal. When these sukriti become strong, one gradually develops shraddha and ananya bhakti, and one attains shraddha. Now, beautiful, now the conclusion. Birth in a Muslim family is the result of naimittika duskriti, temporary and pious deeds, whereas faith in ananya bhakti is the result of nitya sukriti, eternal pious deed. What is surprising about this? So there are two different sukritis. So someone can be born in a Muslim, it's duskrit sukriti on the platform of karma, but somehow or other he could have performed some devotion too. Chidamani, this is what I meant by my previous question. If there is such a thing as bhakti pochaka sukriti, sukriti that nourishes devotion, it must arise from some other type of sukriti. Muslims do not have any other type of sukriti, so it is not possible for them to have bhakti pochaka sukriti, sukriti that nourishes devotion. It's not possible. Vaishnav, this is not a fact. Nitya sukriti and naimittika sukriti are classified separately, so they do not depend on one another. They're two separate things. This is the misconception. And when you become qualified on the platform of the soul, you become more qualified than on the platform of karma. Vaishnav Das. Once there was a sinful hunter who was full of impious deeds, who chanced to stay up night and fast on Shivaratri. Because of the nitya sukriti he accrued from this, he developed eligibility for Hari Bhakti. He was staying up hunting, but it was on a particular day to honor the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, and he fasted. Vaishnavam Yata Shambhu, among Vaishnavas, Shivaji is best. Bhagavatam 12:13. From this statement is understood that Mahadev is the most worshipful Vaishnava. And one who attains Hari, and one attains Hari Bhakti by observing a vow to please him. Chudamani, so do you mean to say that Nitya Sukriti comes about by chance? Vaishnav Das, everything comes about by chance. This is also the case on the path of karma. What is the circumstance by which the jiva first entered the cycle of karma? Can it be anything other than a chance occurrence? The Mimamsa philosophers describe karma as a nadi, beginning without root, but actually karma does have a root. The chance occurrence that brings one's original karma into effect is indifference to Bhagavan. Bhagavan Vimukta. Wow. Similarly, Nitya Sukriti also seems to be a chance occurrence. It's said in the Svetashvatara Upanishads, Samane Vrikshe Purusho Namagno Yani Saya Sochiti Mu Yamana Chushtam Yada Pashiti Anyam Isham Asya Mahimanam Iti Vittisham. The jiva and the indwelling Paramatma both reside in the same tree, namely the material body. The jiva attached to material sense enjoyment is therefore sunk in the bodily conception of life. Bewildered by Maya, he cannot find any means of deliverance, and thus he laments. However, by the influence of Sukriti acquired over many lifetimes, he can obtain the mercy of Ishvara or a Shuddha Bhakti. At that time, he will see in his heart that there is a second individual within the tree of the body. This is Ishvara, who is served eternally by his unalloyed Bhakti. So he's saying, you can get that Sukriti. And then this is what happens. When the jiva witnesses the uncommon glories of Sri Krishna, he becomes free from all lamentation. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhava Pavar Go Bhamato Yata Bhavech Janasyatar Yatrita Satsalagama Satsangamo Yahi Tadaiva Satkato Parabaresha Tvayi Jayate. O Sri Achyuta, you are eternally situated in your original spiritual form. The jiva has been wandering in the cycle of birth and death since time without beginning. When the time for his release from this cycle approaches, he obtains satsang. And through this, he becomes firmly attached to you with a supreme goal of attainment for the sadhus and the controller of both spirit and matter. So somehow or other, by great fortune, one gets the association of devotees. And he gets Nitya Sukriti. And 3:25:25, Satam Pasangam Mamavirya Sampado Bhavanti Rikarna Rasayana Kata Ijo Shanarasya Pavada Bhartmani Shadha Ratir Bhakti Anupimishyati. As a result of full-hearted association with Shuddha Bhakti, one gets the opportunity to hear descriptions of my heroic deeds, which are like the nectarian tonic for the ears and the heart, are repeatedly relishing those topics through hearing and contemplation, one quickly and successfully obtains, successively obtains, shraddha, rati, and prema bhakti. So this is how it comes, the association of devotees. It's a different thing. You can have very high karma or jnana. You can be a Mayavadi. You can have very, very karma and be a materialist. You can have low karma again, Sukriti, and become a great devotee. Chudamani, in your opinion, is there no difference between an Aryan and a Yavana? The highest class people and these outcasts? Vaishnav Das. There are two kinds of differences. Those that relate to the absolute reality, paramarthika, and those that relate to practical experience, vyavaharika. There is no absolute difference between Aryans and Yavanas. But there's a practical difference. There's a material difference. There's not an absolute difference. Material difference is not an absolute difference. It's a temporary relative difference. Chudamani, why do you insist on repeatedly showing off your verbosity? What do you mean by practical difference between Aryans and Yavana? Vaishnav, the term practical, Yavahadika, refers to worldly customs. In domestic life, Yavanas are considered untouchable, so their association is unsuitable from the practical point of view. Aryans should not touch water and food that has been touched by a Yavana. The body of a Yavana is insignificant and untouchable because of his unfortunate birth. Chudamani, then how can there possibly be no difference between Aryans and Yavanas from the absolute point of view? Please explain this clearly. Vaishnav Das, the Shastras have affirmed this lucidly. Vigavaranara Matram Hariye Krishnanama. O best of the Bhrigus, Sri Krishnanam delivers all men. According to this shloka, Yavanas and other human beings have an equal opportunity to achieve the supreme goal of life. Those who are devoid of Nitya Sukriti are known as Dvipadu Pasha, two-legged animals, because they have no faith in Krishnanam. Such people have no human qualities, even though they attain a human birth. It is said in the Mahabharata, Apasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Sopapanyavitam Rajam Vishwasho Navajayate. O King, those whose past pious deeds are very meager cannot have faith in Mahaprasad, in Govinda, in Sri Krishnanam, or in the Vaishnavas. Nitya Sukriti is great Sukriti that purifies the jiva. Naimittika Sukriti is insignificant Sukriti that does not have the power to awaken Shraddha towards transcendental objects. In this material world, there are four transcendental objects that awaken spiritual consciousness. Mahaprasad, Govinda, Govinda Nam, and Shuddha Vaishnavas. Chudamani, what kind of strange idea is this? This is simply the fanaticism of the Vaishnavas. How can rice, dal, and vegetables be spiritual? Chinmayi, you Vaishnavas are capable of everything. I guess now you got upset about them saying that Mahaprasad Golden Day. Vaishnavas, whatever you do, please do not criticize Vaishnavas. This is my humble request. In debate, one should argue the points in question. What is the use of deriding Vaishnavas? Mahaprasad provokes spiritual consciousness and dissolves one's materialistic nature, so it is the only food that is acceptable in this world. Therefore, Sri Upanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat tena tatena bunjita. Everything animate and inanimate within the universe is situated in Ishvara, is also pervaded by him. Therefore, in a detached mood, one should accept only what is necessary for one's maintenance, considering all things to be remnants of Ishvara. One should be not attached to another's wealth, considering himself to be the enjoyer. Whatever exists within the universe is connected to Sri Hari's potency. One will give up the worldly-minded spirit if he considers everything to be related to Sri Hari's potency. So he said, how can Prasad be spiritual? So he's explaining. An introspective jiva will not be degraded if he accepts only those worldly things that are necessary for maintenance of the body, considering them to be remnants of Sri Hari. On the contrary, his inclination towards spiritual consciousness will be aroused. The remnants of food and other articles offered to Bhagavan are known as Mahaprasad. It's a great misfortune that you have no faith in such merciful dealings of the Lord. to the money. Okay, let's drop this subject and return to the original point of discussion. What is the proper behavior between the Yavana and you people? Vaishnavdas. As long as someone remains a Yavana, we remain indifferent to him. However, when someone who is formerly a Yavana becomes a Vaishnav, by the influence of Nitya Sukriti, we no longer consider him a Yavana. This is very clear in the following statement from the Padma Purana. So yes, if he remains a Yavana, but if he performs Nitya Sukriti, then we don't consider him by the body anymore. He becomes a Vaishnava. Shudram Bhagavat Bhaktam Sharam Svapacham Tata Vikshite Dhati Samanyat Sayati Narakam Duram Quoted Hari Bhakti Bilas 10:19. If one considers a devotee of Bhagavan to be a member of the lowest of the four castes, Shudra, a member of the aboriginal tribe of hunters, Nishad, or an outcast dog eater, Swapacha, merely because the devotee has taken birth in such families, one is assuredly destined to go to hell, if you think this way. Name Priyas Chaturvedi Madbhakta Suprachya Priya Tasmai Deyam Tatograyam Suchapujo Yatayam. A Brahmin who has studied the four Vedas but who has no bhakti is not dear to me. Whereas my bhakti is very dear to me, even if he has taken birth in the family of dog eaters. Such a bhakti is fit to receive charity, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Indeed, he is worshipable as I am. This is such a long chapter. I guess it's an important point. Chudamani, understand. Then can a Grihastha Vaishnav make a marriage relationship? The Yavan family Vaishnav. From a general point of view, a Yavana remains a Yavana in the eyes of the general populace until he relinquishes his body. But from the absolute point of view, he is no longer regarded as a Yavana once he attains bhakti. Marriage is one of the 10 kinds of social rites, smart to karma. If Grihastha Vaishnav is an Aryan, that is, if he's included within the four Varnas, he should only marry within his own Varna. Even though the religious duties associated with the four castes are naimittic in nature, they are still recommended for the maintenance of domestic life. One cannot become a Vaishnav simply by giving up the social customs of the four Varnas. Vaishnavas should adopt whatever is favorable to bhakti, and one can only give up the duties of the Varnas that he's become qualified to do so by genuine detachment. Then we can give up the duties of the four Varnas and everything associated with them. Varna Dharma can be given up easily when it becomes unfavorable to bhajan. Similarly, a Yavana who has awakened faith in bhakti has the right to give up the association of the Yavana community if it's unfavorable for bhajan. Suppose that one Vaishnava is an Aryan who is qualified to give up the four Varnas, and another Vaishnava is a Yavana who is qualified to give up his community, then what is the difference between them? Both of them have given up ordinary life, Yavahara, and have become brothers in regard to spiritual reality, Paramahartha. However, this principle of rejecting Varnashram Dharma does not apply to a Vaishnava, a Grihastha Vaishnava. A Grihastha Vaishnava should not give up domestic society until he is fully qualified to do so, even if it is unfavorable to bhajan. So if he's not qualified to give it up, then it'll be a disturbance to him if he gives up his social setting. I see even with devotees, it's an advantage sometimes where devotees join and stay in the same place where, if you know, they became Krishna conscious and their families are. it's supportive to their spiritual life. I mean, rather than you go up and you're completely uprooted. So there's some fact with social obligations and circumstances that has a social, physical, and mental support for spiritual life, and as long as one's on the bodily platform. Then one has to be careful how he moves. So practical, Krishna consciousness. However, he can easily give up worldly society when firm attachment and affection to that which is stable to Bhajan wakes up. So if he really gets something deep, then he's no longer bound. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.11.32, Agyaya evam gunan doshan maya dishtan api shrutan dharman sanjajya sarvam ma'am vajet sutatama. Sri Krishna says, in the Vedas, I have given duties to human beings, explaining what are positive attributes and what are false. One is considered the best of sadhus and he knows all this, but abandons his duties to worship. We worship with the firm conviction that all perfection may be obtained by bhakti alone. They say, ultimately, if you become a devotee, you fully surrender, then you're actually not dependent on these dharmas. Because his question is, what if this marries this and that? No, you shouldn't disturb things. But ultimately, if you're surrendered to Krishna, you're beyond all this. And this is corroborated by the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva dharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja ham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshyasami vasuja. Then in all varieties of naimittika dharmas, such as karma and jnana, surrender only to me. Do not lament, for I will deliver you from all sinful reactions occurred by giving up your prescribed duties. This is supported further in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yada yasyanu vinati Bhagavan Atma Bhavata. Bhagavan bestows his mercy upon the jiva whom he is pleased because of his self-surrender or serving him with complete absorption of his inner faculties. At that time, the jiva gives up all attachment to social customs and rituals, religious rituals prescribed in the Vedas. So, basically, if one is advanced, then he's not socially obligated. But until that fact, one is. Okay, I'm going to end now today. Is there any questions from anyone?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Lord and Bhakta Das.
Sorry, Krishna, would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktiras.
Hi, Bro, Govardhan.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna, Gail.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Malati.
Malati, so nice to hear you. Here. Alex is here with me. He smiled when he heard your name.
Aww.
Malati, will we see you next weekend at all?
I am trying to work it out. I'm still really hoping so.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Any of the programs, you're welcome. And if you don't, although it wasn't possible. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yes.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, it's a wonderful class, Maharaj, today. I really enjoyed this class.
Is that Govardhan?
Yes, Maharaj, wonderful class. I'm so happy.
Wonderful. What part did you like?
I think that my sermons are very, very useful for my class to preach, you know, on Saturday. I'm really happy.
Okay. Yeah, I know you use everything you hear for your classes. That's great. Thank you. That's wonderful. I felt more awake. I mean, you know, traveling, sometimes I'm so exhausted, I'm sleeping when I'm giving class. But I was awake today. I took a nap in the afternoon. Okay, I'm going to end now. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.